Welcome to the Holy Spirit's Curriculum of Joy podcast. My name is Wanneke Oberhuber, and I'm your host. My guest today is Henry Kuivenhoven. I hope I said it right. Hi.
Kuivenhoven.
Kuivenhoven. Okay, Kuivenhoven. So wonderful to have you here. How are you?
Thank you. I'm doing great.
Good to hear that. So I'd like to ask you a wonderful question that I think is really intriguing to find out about people with. How did you come to see the world the way you do today?
Whoa, that's incredible. What a question. That is, I use my body in Germany at the moment, and they say in German, "Das ist der Hammer." That means that question is like one of those really, really big questions. How did that happen? Well, I guess for me, the bottom line to answer that, something has happened to me that I can speak for 3 hours nonstop in a sort of monologue, but I don't want to do that to answer this question. I'm just going to say that somehow or other, it is that destiny has found me. I have been blessed to be able to see the way that I see, and to think the way that I think, and to be who I am.
Yeah, well, I would like to hear, let's say about an hour of monologue if you want, or 45 minutes.
Well,
and that answer was a little too short for my taste.
Yeah, I understand that, and I'm kind of like the guy that wants the invitation. And like, love needs an invitation.
Well, then love, you're invited.
Thank you. Like this thing called awakening. I had been looking at that idea for a really long, long time. And I was born, according to my birth certificate, in 1958, on the 18th of August. But, it's a strange idea that we call our first day of breathing our birth. My parents were both Dutch citizens, war children, traumatized by the Second World War, and I was like, according to the way that we usually think about it as human beings, I was born in Canada, and in a place called Huttonville, which is about like 45 minutes or half an hour, depending on how fast you push the gas pedal, from Toronto. And that's Ontario. And I spoke Dutch before I spoke English, but I don't remember very much of the Dutch. And then I moved around more than 33 times with the body that I've used, called home at least 33 different places, and I'm now currently using my body in Germany, in the north west, kind of like near Berlin, and I speak German. And that's been quite an interesting experience to be able to speak a third language. And I've done a lot of playing around with learning different languages, and I would suggest that to anybody who wants to, well, awaken, whatever, you know. I'm going to talk about that a little bit, but I can't exclude the thing that helped me come into a very deep, deep awakening experience. I'm not calling myself an awakened one. And this is extremely important to me because I use a book called A Course in Miracles to keep my mind very ordered. Otherwise, it feels chaotic. It feels like it's going all over the place, and I can't find who I am or what I am. But with A Course in Miracles, and the author of the Course in Miracles, I feel not grounded like one of those New Age ways of thinking, but I feel as though I remember who I am, what I am, why I am. So, like, the idea of awakening is actually quite simple. And like, a lot of people who read the book called The Course in Miracles have a lot of problems with it. I understand that, because it took me, well, a little bit of time to come into the awareness of what it actually means, what it's trying to say. And there's, like, big terms, big words, which I call symbols, and they are important, pivotal pieces in the book, like the word forgiveness, the word salvation. Those are like really big words. And revelation is another one. And there's lots of words that are in the book. The book is like, the version I have is like 1,000 pages, and almost two sides of the pages are printed. So we're talking about like almost 2,000 printed pages that you could read or not. And I have read them. I don't know how many times. I don't really count very well. But it doesn't matter how many times you read something. I'm not using the pronoun you. I'm trying to speak to like one person. I'm speaking to all of humanity, and myself included in that. And that's kind of the strange thing about English, is that the word you can kind of seem like I'm pointing out something personal. When I read A Course in Miracles, I took it extremely personally, and I think that is what the amazing thing about that book is if a person can take it personally, it's not like a Bible, which is trying to lay a law down for humanity. It's just a course in miracles. It's like that's what it's trying to say. It's trying to really, really show anybody who's willing that miracles can still, well, I wouldn't call it happen. I was thinking of saying that, but come through you. And that, now I am speaking very personally, and I don't care who hears that or who doesn't, but it is a personal experience. Miracles can come through you, and if somebody reads the book, and that's like to me so important, just read the book and try to ask for help on understanding it, because the help is there. It is there, and reading it, then it will become. become apparent that it's not just a book, it's like a manual. It's like a manual for awakening to miracles, and that miracles can come through you, and they're not from you, they are from beyond you. Until you are so connected with the source of miracles that you're going to have a problem understanding what the miracle is and what it is not, because actually the truth of what you are and what I am is that you are a miracle. You are a beautiful miracle, and that is what has changed in my vision and the way I am and who I am and why I am. For some reason or other, I can see the miracle in you. I can see the love in you. Well, I can't say that's 100% my experience, because I'm still using a body and sometimes I still have bodily experiences. But that is what the Course in Miracles is going to bring you to. But you have to be willing to allow it to bring you to that. And that's why there's this incredible word called willingness. It's just a little amount of willingness that brings you into your awakening. And sometimes the awakening kind of looks like a long time, a lot of effort, and a lot of bumps up and down, you know. And I could tell a lot of stories about it, but like my personal past, now, this message is not about Henry and about his past. What I am about is sharing the Course in Miracles and the deep, deep meaning of what it is. Because if love returns to the mind of the people, and I know that doesn't sound like something that most people kind of understand, what does that mean, right? It's like, There's 20 lessons. It's called a review. It's kind of funny that it would be a review, but it's just before the second part of the workbook in A Course in Miracles, and it starts off with lesson 200, but just before that, there's lesson 199, and for me, that's an incredible lesson, and it says, "I am free. I am not a body, I am free." And then the lessons after that in the review add the words, "I am still as God created me." And like the idea that you are a body or I am a body, and like for me, it's not an accident that my image is not being shown in this recording. When I started on Facebook, I didn't want to show a body. And Facebook said, no, you have to do that. So eventually I conformed and I showed a body in my face. I took a couple of pictures and but it was in a moment that I was feeling extremely aware of that I am not a body, and I was just so happy. And so I took some pictures with symbols of angels in the background, and I was just laughing about the idea that I am a body. So I kind of walk around in this world with the awareness that I am not a body. I know that, and I know you're not. But, like, talk about rejection. Like, most people just want to be a body here. That's what, you know, they still want to do that. And I said, okay, but maybe it'd be fun not to be. What do you think?
Yeah, it's a good question to wonder what A Course in Miracles is speaking about when it says you're not a body, right? And the idea that all that we are experiencing as a world is a dream, right? Is a very important one in A Course in Miracles. You want to elaborate on that?
Yes. It's okay. It took me quite a long time, like even in this lifetime. Like, you know, if you get this message faster than I do, I'm going to be happy. And I'm talking about to everyone, you know, because I'm one of the dummies. And I have a great friend who helped me understand what that means. Let's say that you are a teacher in a high school or a grade school, and you have to teach the kids, all the kids at once. You've got like 30 students in the school, I mean your classroom. Who are you going to teach? If you don't teach the dumb guys, well, they get left behind in what they flunk, and they, you know, you have to stay being a teacher for a long time. But if you go ahead and teach the slow guys, and you do so incredibly accurately and so intelligently that you're also teaching the smart ones how to teach the, well, I don't like making the differences, but this is a world of differences. like people say, oh, you know, you don't need to change anything. Don't do nothing in this world. It's like one of those Course in Miracles ideas. Well, guess what? You need to be doing something here, guys. Like, well, awakening is not really a doing. It's like an undoing. It's like the dream is that you are a body. Whoops. Did God make you a body? So it's like that's one of those big questions that come up in A Course in Miracles, and paging through the over 1,000 pages, it comes up over and over and over. Did God create a world of bodies? God could not have created separation. And it's like one of those, well, hey, that's kind of German. Like, if God is everything, how could you be separate from him? Well, like, if all this stuff is going on here in this world, right? Not so nice stuff. I mean, I'm still aware of that stuff. It's not like I'm in Nirvana and bliss, you know, because I'm one of the awakening ones. No, that's not the way it goes. To be honest, I don't like what's going on with all the war stuff, and you know, but it's like there's this thing called forgiveness, and forgiveness is like a really different idea in A Course in Miracles, and it's like, wow. when I got to that part of the book, I said, oh, I guess I had a little different idea of what forgiveness was. let me take anyone who's listening into my experience as like a guy called Henry, and how I met A Course in Miracles. So maybe I'll fill in the 1 hour monologue here, but I'm going to try to condense it down into as fast as possible, because I don't really need to be talking about my personal life. It's the only reason I do something like that as an awakening one is to use it as a teaching tool. So here it goes. When I was, well, I don't remember exactly the dates, approximately between 37 and 40 years old, I had already been searching and went through many, many different kinds of awakening experiences. And I had small awakening experiences and near-death experiences and all that, you know, real cool stuff. But I had actually come to the point where I recognized I am the sleeper. I'm the one who wants to awaken. How would I, in that kind of a condition, ever be able to recognize the truth or the teacher? Like I went through different kinds of teachings and truths, which I thought, well, that's the truth. This is the truth. That's the truth. And I finally came into a teaching, and I'm going to say it was a Sufi teaching that I found this idea. They said to me, the teacher will find you. You're like the seeker. So how can the seeker find if the seeker is just the seeker? And that made such perfect sense to me. I thought, oh my goodness, I have to stop seeking. How do I do that? And then I thought, well, you know, I'm just going to be a great farmer. And then when my time comes, well, then it comes. Well, it came fast. I think I spent about 3 or 4 months with that kind of well, mindset. That's about the best way to put it. And then in the same building where I was talking to farmers and other gardeners, and it was in Dutch at the time, then the Course of Miracles came into that building through a person who was also very, very dedicated to those ideas. And they had rented from these farmers a building so that they could sit together and look at the ideas of Course of Miracles together. I had a friend who said, you know, maybe you'd be interested in this stuff. And that friend also lived in the same town where I was. And they said, maybe you'd be interested. I said, well, okay, you know, I don't know. I've seen so much stuff. And I sat in one of those meetings, and I only had to sit there for like about 15 minutes. I said, oh, my goodness. What have I met here? And then after some time, I think it was about, well, half a year, what a person suggests, well, maybe you want to read this book. I said, okay. So I went ahead and bought the book because, you know, I was wealthy enough, rich enough to buy the book. And I thought, well, you know, what do I got to lose? I bought the book, and I really liked the idea of working on myself at the time. You know, really, you know, I'm the one who's going to awaken. I'm going to do it. And I opened up the book, looked in the index, see what chapters were there, and what the book was. I paged through it. And, well, there's a text, and there's a workbook, and, you know, some other stuff. And I said, wow, workbook. Yeah, I like working on myself. So I flipped open the workbook, skipped over the introduction. I said, no, I don't need that. Went straight to lesson one. And I can still sort of remember it, but like when I use the pronoun I, I have to, at this moment in time, I have to adjust my identity, because the identity that I was then was ego. And anybody who reads A Course in Miracles has got to understand that the word ego is an extremely important word in that book. And, well, I basically was ego. Of course, that's not who you are, not what you are. But if you're using that thought system, that's all I want to say about it, that thought system, then that is what you are. But of course, that's not the reality of you. But like, that's what the illusion, that's what the dream is. And yeah, it gets really complex from there. But like, to start simple with that idea, and that's how the awakening starts to happen, is to recognize what is ego and what is not. And then getting help from wherever, like I can help you understand what ego is to a certain degree, and then there's going to be a moment where I'm useless, and you're going to have to go to the Holy Spirit. And see, there's another term, which like I had a lot of trouble with it, because I rejected Christianity to be able to find A Course in Miracles. And like the idea of Holy Spirit, and even the idea of God in the book, I thought, well, man, you know, why did my friend send me, you know, back to this stuff? I didn't want that. But eventually, I even forgave all the terms in A Course in Miracles that I didn't like, because I was like the ego that, you know, didn't want to use those terms and understand them. But eventually, I like lesson two is like, I give all the meaning that it has. And yeah, I even have to do that with A Course in Miracles. I do have to give it meaning, because I'll tell you what happened for me with lesson one. It says nothing has meaning. You know what Henry did? He took a look at the book and said, well, that means the book has no meaning. Throw it away. I'm still laughing because I think it was a funny idea. But, of course, you know, I paid like more than 30 euros for the thing. I said, well, I'm not going to throw that away. My friend, and I really, really valued my friend's talking to me, because for 6 months I spent quite a lot of time listening to this guy, and he was making sense to me. And he said, well, maybe you want to read that book, check it out. I said, okay, I'll give it a try. So I was there in that room. I as ego was totally panicked about what that means. If nothing means anything, that book. So like the whole idea that this world that of perception is a dream. That is what the awakening is. It's like, and it takes, in a sense, a long time. And you'll find that somewhere in the Course of Miracles that the author says, you know, it can be instantaneous. And that awakening can be instantaneous. And it will be for some people. And I don't know when in time and space that's going to happen. And for some people, in the past, it was. They met ideas, and suddenly they awoke totally, and they didn't need their body anymore, and neither they let it go or they took it with them. And like, if there are beings that took their bodies with them, you wouldn't know about it. It just, you would not know about it, that they took their bodies with them. They would just have disappeared, and no other bodies would be able to explain it, and it kind of just disappears, you know, in the history of stuff. And I know that sounds kind of weird, but I don't care anymore. Like people call me weird and strange, and that's kind of what people try to do in this world. They try to fit in and fit in and fit in. And that's what ego does. It tries to fit in. But each person has their own specific role to play in this world. And they've come with that role before they were born into a body. There's kind of an agreement about, okay, this is why I've come. This is what I'm going to do. And you, it's possible to think of that as a predestiny or not. And And what's really, really the difference is that miracles can come into that and start to change those things. And that's what, like, there's a an idea in A Course in Miracles is called atonement. And when the real you starts to align with the atonement, then miracles start to come through you, through me, through us. And we allow the atonement. And this is what I'm about now. And I'm looking at this world saying, let us allow the atonement. The Great Awakening, this is another way of saying it. It's like many, many different pathways, and you'll find that in the Course in Miracles too, lead to God, the remembrance of God, remembrance of love, and that's what's missing in this world. And so I join with my brothers who have the same message, and it doesn't matter what pathways they are on, and we are meeting each other all over the place, and I could name names, but it might not be appropriate in this kind of setting to do that. So I kind of hope that, like, to answer the question, why is this world an illusion? It's an experience. It's an experiential thing to come into the knowingness that it is so. And all the words that I can throw at it in some kind of a podcast, or I'm ready to talk about this, and I have already, to many, many people all over Germany. And that's what I do as much as I can. Otherwise, I'm just quiet. I smile a lot, laugh a bit, try to have fun, and shine some light and happiness to people around me. Sometimes I have to alleviate some suffering and just be with somebody who's in a moment of pain. And that's what I do. Yeah, so it's an experiential thing to recognize that this world is an illusion. And there's many, many deep levels of what that is. And eventually, like, death is an illusion. And you are not going to die. It's actually impossible. And I happen to know that, and it doesn't matter, you know. I mean, blah, blah, blah. You know, say some words. And also, that's an experiential thing. And like, there's this guy that's guy. It's kind of funny calling Jesus a guy. But the author of A Course in Miracles was Jesus, the Christed one. I say it that way, and there's other people who have different pronunciations of the name because they remember it differently. And I was taught by my parents that the name was Jesus. And it was very sacred to me already as a four-year-old child who started to understand what that means. And he's like, to me, the author of A Course in Miracles. And when he went through his transition, and it's funny to call it a transition because, like, Christians say he died on the cross. Well, of course he didn't die on the cross. That's the whole point of the message. He couldn't die, and neither can you either. And that's not the way you get to heaven. And he didn't die and go to heaven. He actually, well, first, the first thing that he did at that moment, I mean, it was a pretty intense moment. There was like these friends of his around there, and his mother was there. I mean, I've got stories about that, but this is not appropriate at this moment. But Jesus was in his moments of the last doubt. That the miracles that he he had allowed to come through him, that the death would not be real for him. He kind of knew that, but in those moments, there were still those few last doubts. And I know that sounds strange, but that's the way I'm telling my story. And if these words are incorrect, well, Jesus is going to help me understand that's not correct. But that's the way I'm seeing it now. And he went through that last moment, and then he recognized, oh, I can't die. And then he totally joined with the God that he is and that God is, and he recognized that he could make his body completely, totally, physically new. He already was doing that in a sense, but he thought, well, when it was completely destroyed, you know, without the life in it that he knew life was, then he wouldn't be able to do that. But he recognized that, well, the power of God allows him to do that. And that's how he understood it is a dream. That's why he brought the Course in Miracles back to us at the appropriate moment to say, you see, guys, this is what I was actually trying to teach you.
So you said it's an experiential thing to know that the world that we see or perceive is a dream. So would you like to describe that experience or what experiences you had that confirmed that for you?
Well, like, what is the dream? What, like, there's factors that are holding it together as though it is real. Like for example, let's keep it really, really simple without complicating it into all these esoteric stuff. Because that's what a lot of these religions and these gurus do. And I would be really careful, and I'm going to warn anybody who's trying to awaken. If there's a teacher who's trying to hold and bind you into following them, run away. Run away fast. I don't want that. I'm about you finding your own connection to what I call Holy Spirit. And in another philosophical system or another pathway to God, it has another name. And I don't care. I'm not going to tell you, you know, parallel words, symbols to Holy Spirit. I use that, and that's what I'm talking about. But only the Holy Spirit is capable of showing you, of giving you the experiential thing that I was just talking about. I can't really talk about it without adding that to it. But it kind of starts off below that. Like certain things become noticeable. And it's extremely personal for everybody. And in that sense, there is individual awakenings. Like mine took a certain pathway, and I recognize that the mind that I am using, it's not mine, and it's not yours. The mind is the mind, and we share it. And it seems like your body is over there, wherever there is, like the host is somewhere in Austria, And I have another friend who is somewhere in America, and he also is working with A Course in Miracles. And it's amazing because I have my thoughts through the month and weeks here, and then I listen to some stuff that he's been recording and publicizing, and I'm thinking, hey, wait a minute, those are my thoughts. Those are not your thoughts. How did you get my thoughts? And it's like I'm thinking, well, wait a minute, whose thoughts are they? But it's like these are kind of jokes to me now, and that's not the way I think. The way I think is that the mind, and this is not something that is really, really clear to somebody who is reading A Course in Miracles. So there's somebody like trying to explain it like I am, is there are different aspects of creation. I'm going to be presenting something which is kind of different than what you're going to be reading in A Course in Miracles, but it is in there, but it's like underneath. And I'm teaching A Course in Miracles as the guy called Henry Kuivenhoven, not somebody else. And I have my experience, and it's okay. I'm not asking you to believe me. I'm asking you to go into the Course in Miracles and find your pathway in it, and that is how it works. It's a personal, and that's what makes it so different from the religious approaches. And that, to me, that's exactly why it's so incredible. And that this guy called Jesus, the Christed One, that's why I talked about him, the Christed One. Because the Christing experience is still available to you, and that you will find that in A Course in Miracles. What I'm saying is you can be Christed, but you cannot do that alone, and you do need Jesus to help you. And it doesn't matter if you call him Jesus or another prophet, it's the same Christing experience. It's like becoming the love, remembering the love. Because to say becoming the love is almost inaccurate, because that is what you are. It is what God created. It's like the ego is like the not God part. So one of those really weird questions that people ask me is, well, where did the ego come from? That's like one of those questions where, in a sense, the ego is asking the question, and I know that, but that's okay. It's like I don't attack the ego. That's not what I do, but I allow it to be there. But it's not like I don't teach the ego, and I don't try to get around it. I don't beat it. I don't try to make it disappear. I just add the love. That's all I do. And I say, because that is what you are. And if you want to see the ego, because instead of being the ego, well, that does take a certain kind of forgiveness. And that is what I'm talking about, that, or the Course in Miracles is talking about. There is a process of awakening. And if you throw the baby out with the bathwater, well, then you throw the baby out with the bathwater, and you're left with ego. And well, ego is not eternal, and that's the way it works. God is eternal, and love is going to, well, not win, but awakening is inevitable, and that's kind of the funny part about it. So I don't know if I got any closer to kind of answer the question about experiential, but like the Holy Spirit is the giver of the revelation, and it's like a bunch of words, right? The giver of revelation, but when that really happens to you as an experience, it's like it's not a bunch of words anymore. It's like, ooh, you know, that's like a little tidbit of what happens. It knocks your socks off. It just blows your mind away. It's like it put it it it, it really turns your world upside down, but right side up. And you'll read that in A Course in Miracles. This world is upside down. It's in there many, many times. For those who have read it, they know what I'm talking about. The world is upside down. Well, guess what? When it gets right side up, you're going to feel that the world is upside down. But before that, you feel like the Course in Miracles is upside down. All right? But
wow. Well, I was thinking of, you know, maybe you'd like to share one of those visions or you know, the words. Sometimes, you know, for a singer, it might turn into a song. And you've told me that you're a singer, so I don't know. Yeah. Did that happen for you?
Yeah, often, yeah. It's like, being with the Holy Spirit and being with Jesus, and Jesus has helpers, okay? So don't make it singular. Like I'm not talking to you personally. I'm talking about to everyone here now. I'm talking to what I call the people. And it's like for me, that's the way I talk. I'm going to be talking. And I've been given this job recently because they or he asked me, "Do you want this job?" And I said, "Well, do you think I'm good enough? You know all the stuff that I've done. You know, I don't think I think you got the wrong guy." They laughed just like I did. I said, "Well, who do you think we are? This is kind of like an insult, don't you think? We're asking you, and you're saying you got the wrong guy. Get a grip." And I said, "Oh, okay. Yeah, I see what you mean." But I said, "I don't know. You really think I could do this?" They said the same kind of thing. We know who you are. Maybe it's time for you to know who you are." And okay, here comes the vision stuff, because I don't know if this is going to be okay on a podcast, but I don't care. I'm going to be talking about that anyway. Like there's this idea in the end of the book, clarification of terms and stuff. But that came after. Like there was first this foundation for inner peace, and that was like when Helen and Bill and Kenneth Wappen put the first editions together, and they got their copyrights and stuff. Now, that was the first book that I read without the clarification of terms and other stuff. And then there was like, they added some stuff with the other books and stuff. And I read that, and then I saw, oh, wow, cool, reincarnation. I read that, a couple of times, and what does that mean? Because like, I was brought up in a Christian environment, and reincarnation is a no-no, just like Darwin, right? No dinosaurs. Now I'm laughing about that idea, because I went to a Christian school, and they said, well, you know, Darwin was wrong about, you know, stuff. We're not sure, but we don't think that we really were dinosaurs. And I'm not a pathologist, you know, one of those guys studying archaeology. But, I did go and see dinosaur bones. And, well, you say, you know, like the world is not real. You know, and that's okay. But, you know, like, if you don't breathe air, then probably your body's going to stop. And you're going to be thinking about what is real and what is not. you do need a body to awaken. And like I said, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. And if you throw away your awakening, the idea of your process, and you say, well, I am awake, then what actually happens is you just stay in the ego mind and you walk around doing your same egoistic things, and you say, I'm awake. And that works for a little while until, well, you get really, really unhappy because you recognize that you're not awake. And then you go back to looking at, well, what does it mean to awaken? But like with this idea of reincarnation, so there came a moment when I was really, really intensely busy with the Course in Miracles, and I thought, no, either this reincarnation stuff is just a bunch of crap, or it's not. But if I can remember stuff, well, to me, it would be really proof if I could remember my own birth. I mean, as Henry, as a body, right? So, like, I was kind of arrogant, and I was challenging Jesus. I said, well, you know, and Holy Spirit. I said, well, you know, this reincarnation stuff, you know, how do I know it's true? How do I know it's not? And, like, Jesus said, well, you know, could be. He actually said kind of like it is, but if you don't need it, fine, you know, don't bother with it. And so there I was with this sort of arrogant idea of, well, if I can remember anything, because like that's kind of what Course in Miracles is saying, you can remember God. And I was saying, whoop, remember God, that's an interesting idea, but how am I ever going to do that if I can't even remember my own birth? I can't remember my childhood. And then some experiences started happening. I started remembering my childhood. But very, very quickly, I remembered my own birth. Which Jesus actually warned me before that. Like, I could still very clearly remember the ideas that were happening in my mind as that process started. And it's like, is it visionary? Is it experiential? Or what is it? Is it like going back into the past? Like, it doesn't matter how I describe it, but for me, it was extremely real. And I could actually talk about it to anybody, and I have more than once. And when I do that, I go into that experience again. It's kind of a weird experience, but it is actually possible for anybody, and I know that now, that like you as a apparent individual were at your own birth, in the sense of transition from inside the womb that you were in as a being, and then passing out of the womb into the world called life. But of course, it's a funny idea, right? To be born and then you're alive. Well, I mean, of course, you are alive before you started breathing air, but guess what? You were breathing water before that. And what is water in the symbology? Truth. So what Jesus said to me is, okay, Henry, are you sure you're ready for this? Because it's going to be a kind of a bizarre experience. And I said, well, I did ask for it, and can you help me if it's that bizarre? And he said, yeah, of course, I'll be there for you, but hold on, because it is a very strange and different kind of experience, and your mind that you're using now, it won't be able to understand it. So when the moments come, ask me about it. Well, he didn't quite say it that way. He said, I'll be there for you. So what happened is it was like being in the experience, and the experience the experience was immediately terrifying. It was like I recognized that the baby feels the pressures of the mother's body pushing it out of the place where it had just kind of awakened into its bodily experience, which it thought was kind of heaven. It was being fed. It was warm, and it heard all these, well, pleasant sounds. And like maybe if a child is born in a very violent environment, which I was not. I was born in a very loving family environment. Well, you know, probably my brothers and sisters screamed at each other a little bit as children, but it was pretty harmonious. So I probably, as a fetus, experienced a quite a beautiful pregnancy. But when my mother started going into labor, which was all quite fast, because my mother had a very healthy body, and she started pushing against my body, right, quickly to get it out. Because the longer that the human fetus is without water, because the water breaks in a pregnancy, and then the fetus is not actually breathing the water the way it had been for a long time. And like the fetus is the you that you are is experiencing the lack of water and saying, oh my goodness, what's going on, you know? And so what I'm describing in this vision, because I don't call it a vision, to me it was an experience. I'm remembering my own birth, but it's like going back in time where I'm experiencing this. And then also asking at the same time, Jesus, what's going on? He says, well, you see, you, as Henry, are now experiencing the thoughts of, and it like, this experience is not operating on the same second and minute timeline that we're used to as human beings. And I can't tell you how much time, like in seconds, minutes, hours, that this experience occurred. I don't know. I know that it happened to me in an evening one day, and I don't know how long it took, but it was pretty intense. So it went on, and I felt the pushing and the squeezing of my mother's muscles, and feeling the separation and the panic of thinking I was going to die. And that's like the first death experience. And I asked Jesus, is that the first death experience? He says, well, this is what it feels like when you, as a body, thought you were in heaven. Because that, like when the fetus is in that situation, it has forgotten where it came from. Because you as what you are, the mind, you, and that's like where in A Course in Miracles you're going to find some stuff about the original separation idea, that you as a body are feeling the reenactment of the separation when you are being born. So, and then comes the moment where, well, because the body has not been breathing truth, water, for a long time, there's a panic, and it feels like it's going to die without truth. And then there's this experience of coming into this light. And it's very parallel to what happens when a body goes through its transition. And I can talk about that as another experience, but that's not appropriate in this moment. But the light, because the body's eyes have been looking at light through the womb of the mother. It perceives light also through the skin layers and all that, and I recognized that in the vision that I was having at the time, just before the birth, that I was perceiving light, and I had been before that, and I had been perceiving sound. The ears were already, to some degree, functioning. The baby's ears do function when it is before it's born, and it can hear sounds and stuff, and it hears sounds differently than what, like the my voice now is coming into your ears. It's the same apparatus, but as a baby, you hear that differently. And then when it enters into the world without the barriers of the womb, it's a big surprise. it's a huge surprise. But what's a really, really big surprise is how the light, if a child is born with eyes open, then, well, that's a completely different experience than when a child is born with eyes closed. But even with the eyes closed, the light penetrates in through the eyelids into the being of the the person, and something changes. There's a new kind of awakening that happens in that person, and the shock, or that's the best thing I could call it at this moment. The shock of not breathing water and the body suddenly wanting to do something different and taking that first breath of air. That is amazing. It's a totally amazing experience to breathe that first breath of air. And it's sort of parallel to the idea of awakening. You suddenly remember God. And like, inspiration is what air is. Air is like inspiration, inspiring. And it's like a parallel. It's like in the dream world, the air is like the inspiration. It keeps you alive, and then you forget that you breathe. And you seem like you are being breathed. And like, there's not many people that are aware of every breath. So that kind of, I tried to, and that's kind of like the weird thing about trying to explain a miracle. I've done that a couple of times, and I remember reading something in A Course in Miracles says, don't bother doing that because it won't work. But I had to learn my lesson. Why does it not work? Why does it not work to try to explain a miracle? It's kind of like a joke. Like, if you try to explain a joke to somebody, it's not funny anymore. a miracle kind of loses its power. It doesn't for you, but the other person goes into their logical mind, or they don't, because I've also talked about miracles to friends of mine, and they recognize the miracle, and they say, wow. That's cool, and I kind of hope that what I just got done explaining about the birth, that it did that for you. You said you would go say, "Wow, that's an incredible description of," right? But I know somebody can just logically dismiss it and bring conclusions and. It's actually like judging me for lying. It's like, I don't care, and that's why I don't talk about visions or miracles very much, because it's not nice to be called a liar when those kinds of experiences are so real for you. For me.
Yeah, well, that's an inappropriate response to a person who describes their experience. So that's not something we need to go into. I think it's important to share our experiences and describe them, especially for those who have had experiences and are not able to verbalize them or are not yet willing to recognize that it's an experience that is something that others have experienced similar things as well. It's actually a way of reminding each other of who we are. So I think it's very important. That's why I ask these questions.
Absolutely. Yes. And I was saying what I did because people do when and that it's kind of like I'm saying that so that people who do what I just did recognize that okay, it's fine to try to do something like that, but understand that people are going to that's what it is. It's called an attack. People attack you, and they're going to call you nuts. They're going to call you a liar, and then you or I went through my deeper awakening. It's like another level of awakening, and that is how awakening works. It goes through different levels until there are no more levels, and you're done. And I've been through that so many times already. I'm kind of getting wise to not think, okay, I'm done. It's like I thought that so many times. And that's why now I just call myself an awakening one, because I don't know when I'm done. I'm done when I'm done. Who cares, right?
Yeah, it's important to recognize that it's an experiential journey, right? And
yeah.
So, and experience is something that you have.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's no way of knowing when, what is up, right? It's kind of, and what's important is that you're open to the experience. I think that's what one of the things that A Course in Miracles speaks about a lot is to recognize. Yeah, he even calls it, you know, remembering who you are. It speaks of letting go of all the blocks to the awareness of love's presence. So allowing the Holy Spirit to remove those blocks. So love's presence is not a presence that resists your experience. It's the one that actually embraces you in your experience, even when it's not real.
Yeah. Hello?
So, yeah. Is there anything you would like to, else that you'd like to share? I know that when we had a conversation, you were giving really very, very everyday experiences. You were sharing a lot when we spoke privately. I don't know if there's anything you'd of that type you'd like to share here. If not, is there anything I haven't asked that you'd like me to answer?
Well, I was recently in a situation where I got fired from my employment. But it's kind of like a very personal experience. I'm like 64 years old, almost like ready for retirement, and it's like the idea that something went wrong is so important to and that's something I would really like to bring to anybody who might hear this recording, is that take a second look. Just be willing to take a second look and say, well, maybe, and this is something I've said very often on the internet. You do have three choices: yes, no, and maybe. And actually, the fourth option might be silence, but those three are like the ones that are in this world. And well, maybe there's another explanation, and that's like where I have found so much strength with my partner, who's a beautiful woman that has helped me say, well, you know, maybe there's another way of looking at this. And that's like one of those Course in Miracles ideas that is central to anybody who wants to use A Course in Miracles to really start remembering love and what that means. Because I really like the 127, the lesson about love. That was like for a long time my favorite. And it's like almost like Corinthians 13 in the Bible. It's like for me much better. And it says like there is only the love of God. That's kind of basically what it says. And I don't like to use the word but in this sense, but let's use it anyway because I don't have another one. There is a forgetting that's happening, and like you said, let the illusion be the illusion. Let the experience be the experience, even if it is an illusion. It is an illusion that you're forgetting what love is. So, because that's what you are, how can you forget who you are? And it's like somebody said to me recently, you're not who you are. And I said, well, how could that be possible, right? How can I not be who I am? That doesn't make any logical sense. So that's like this ego thing, right? Yeah, sometimes it feels like I am the ego. But guess what? Then I feel like I'm dying. I feel, and that is like my recently my personal experience. When I'm not feeling loving and in love, then I feel like I'm dying. And it's like I really feel extremely confused, and I want to get back in love. You know, I'm in love, but not with a person, not with a thing, but just simply that's my experience. And it's again experiential. I am in love. Yes, I have a partner. She's a beautiful woman, and we have a what's called a special relationship that is becoming holy. But it's like, yeah, personal experiences and daily experiences. I have a relationship with my shoes, with my coat, and you know, with my bed and everything. My cats and blah blah blah, right? So it's like A Course in Miracles gets so intense that it's every moment. It's not like, oh, I do my lessons and I get 5 minutes here, I get 5 minutes there. At the end of the day, no, it's like eventually I see myself breathing, and I'm saying, well, who breathes me? And I'm aware of my breath. And well, here's a question that has popped into my mind recently. If I'm aware of every breath that I'm breathing, does that change me? I mean, change me as a body? Well, I'm going to answer the question. Yes, it does. If you put your attention to your breathing, you change your body. And if you're loving towards your body, if if you actually are actively with the idea of love, and you project it, or you direct it, however you want to say that, you give your attention to loving your body, it's going to change. And your idea of sickness and health, and that's one of those really big things, right? The pain and the health, and of course the miracles. If you do that with your body, and I'm saying I too in this sense, yeah, you're not going to be so sick. And guess what? I don't get sick very much. Well, maybe it's a result.
Yeah, one of the central statements in A Course in Miracles, you can't change the world, but you can change your mind about the world.
Yeah. Well, I thought about that idea like a whole lot, but like, and when I talk to other Course in Miracles students on, or teachers, I don't care what they call themselves, on internet or in person, then I say something kind of, well, I don't think it's strange, but they say, yeah, you can't change the world. And I say, well, where is the world? So, like, where is the world that you're seeing? Is it in your mind or is it outside? Well, according to the Course in Miracles, the world is in your mind. So, well, you wouldn't have a big problem changing that world, because if it's in your mind, you can change it. Oh, well, what would you like to change in the world? Well, let's see. You know, it's like it is a world of change, and it doesn't have a choice to not change, right? So there is that idea in the Course in Miracles. I don't want to change the world. I want to change my mind. But if you change your mind, guess what? The world changes. You see, it's like, wow, what the power of that idea. This is where I am now. And the I am that I'm talking about is who you are and what you are. It's like the mind is joint. I'm not talking about I am as a separate thing than what you are. And this is where, like, my mind goes, well, galactic, I don't care. It goes into the jointness of who we are and what we are. And it's like where the Christ mind says, I am perfect whole, and I am the love that God has created me to be. And this world that I seem to see outside of me, well, this is what I want for it. And, well, like, how does the disappearance of ego work? How does the disappearance of the world and time and space work? Well, what would happen, right, like, if I love the world so much that I'm ready to allow the ego to disappear? It's not like I'm going to make it disappear. I'm not going to force it to disappear, but I'm willing to have it disappear. Well, first all the pain and suffering would go. I mean, that's like the basic line of how ego stays, you know, active. Well, there you really quickly get this idea of the happy dream, which is still the dream. You see, like, the whole Course in Miracles is kind of spiraling up into this way of thinking, which is called, like, the thinking of the Holy Spirit. And he's, like, very, very lawful with it, or it, or she, I don't care what you want to call it.
Yeah, this is a very important point, that the world we see and the idea that one cannot change the world but change one's mind, in connection with the idea and the understanding that the world is within you, right? That there's nothing that's outside of you, it's all within you. then you realize it's all ideas, right? It's all an idea. And so changing an idea or changing your mind is changing everything. Yes, it's a very important thought to look at.
Yes.
Yeah, and also the idea that by loving all, resistance crumbles, right?
Yeah.
So all pain and suffering crumbles away.
Yeah.
So that's very important.
Yeah, effortlessly.
And the idea that doing nothing means you don't act within the premises of what you think is the world, right, is wrong, right? Of course you do things, but it comes from a different state of mind or a different view, right, a different understanding.
Well, the I'm going to interject because if somebody is listening to this, a miracle is a doing, but it's not a doing as in the way ego thinks of a doing. Because the one who is doing is not the it's like the mind does not do a miracle. And if like God created Holy Spirit, and Holy Spirit did not create the mind, God created that, but Holy Spirit can direct the mind to remember the Spirit. And the Spirit is like some kind of, it's like not, like in the world that we're talking in, like these things seem like separate. Like, and I've had this conversation with many people. How come we talk about these concepts as though they're separate? Like, there's a spirit, and there's God, and there's a mind, and then you have spirit, as though they're all separate. Well, it's kind of separate, but it's not. And then that's like where the ego keeps trying to think it's separation. But like the doing, like not doing anything in the world. Right. But guess what? Miracles are done in the world, not in heaven. So where's the doing? Where's the not done? Right? It's like that.
Yeah, there's something, it's something that is obvious to you as long as you are experiencing yourself as in the world, right? As in a world.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what it says, the miracle is the love, not the, and the effect of love is always a miracle. So whether you describe it as a miracle or not, it still is a miracle according to the way A Course in Miracles describes miracles.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it also says there's no level of difficulty or no level of impossible when it comes to miracles. You can always feel love and feel loved. And love, no matter what's going on in the perceived world or what you think is going on, right?
Totally amazing.
You can always change your mind. Yeah. So I think that's a beautiful thought to think about and to leave everyone with.
Yeah.
So I'd like to thank you so much for coming here, joining me, and having this conversation. I'd like to thank everyone who will and is listening. Thank you so much for being here, for joining us, and forwarding this conversation. Please subscribe to the podcast to let people know about it. And till next time, blessings.
Thank you.